Technorama episode 512K. Flying toasters, attack!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I am in need of the comfort of a nice, warm fembot.
Over there, in the media corner.
Bite my shiny metal.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is your show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. Come on along. We're in for a fun ride. If this is not your first time, you know the routine. Hands and legs inside the ride at all times. Please keep your seatbelt buckled. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good, and my ears are tired. I'm serious from listening all these podcasts we're generating this month.
It is the dog days of podcasting. August, yes. 1st through whatever, till we're done in DragonCon.
Yeah.
And as I've mentioned
in the, well, we've all talked about this, how the challenge is flipped to not just making the podcast, but listening to them all.
Yes.
There, as of this afternoon, this is recorded on a Sunday, as of this afternoon, there's 146 podcasts we've generated this week so far.
Pretty good at keeping up with all of them. A lot of good content down there. If you're not listening, go over to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Where's the desk bell? There it is.
And I think I'm listening to most of them. I'm doing pretty good, but
if you're not familiar with it, Craig started this thing back in 2012 to sort of get the community of the old early days of podcasting when everybody had a chance to listen to everybody else's podcast and build that community again, because now there's tens or possibly even hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. I should know. I wrote the numbers down in a book and then probably forgot.
Yeah, right.
And there was a time when you could realistically listen to every podcast ever produced. Well, those days are long gone, but in this microcosm we have, we're starting it again. And the challenge is for these podcasters to create a show a day for 31 days for the month of August. And we call it the Dog Days of Podcasting. But like Craig said, it's not so much a challenge to produce content as listen to the content.
Somebody's got to consume it, and it's a tough job.
All right, we have some feedback.
Oh.
We have many a feedback. I need a juice harp.
I before E, I better C.
We don't pay attention anymore.
Yeah. Hey, I just noticed. Usually I forget that we kind of drop this from the show, but where it says coming up in this episode and there's three bullet items.
Yes.
I forgot to change them. It just says 1, 2, 3.
I know. I didn't put them on the Facebook feed either. We have a postcard from Jorga, our favorite European and world traveler. Jorga Schrauben, he signs them the same way as we sign the ones that go back to him. Greetings from wherever we are on the backside. But this one is from, we have a still shot of it. There it is. From Den Haag.
Den Haag.
I don't know where Den Haag is. Norway? Sweden? Finland?
Okay, Google. Where is Den Haag?
Oh, boy.
It's a city in the north. Yeah, Netherlands. Yeah, there you go.
I don't think it's... Okay, you say so. I thought the little map showed that it was somewhere in the Scandinavian peninsula.
I'm sorry. It says... That was The Hague. Excuse me. Yeah, I guess... You know what? We're Americans. I'll just use that as an excuse.
Okay. We also have a poster from Weber Baker. He was cleaning house and said, hey, I've got this old poster from whenever it was, 1884. And he sent it along. I am going to frame this. Might be a little hard to show. This is from Boardwatch Magazine. Remember the old podcast?
Oh, yes.
The one with Bill Gates on the front, and it says resistance is futile, and he's got a little Netscape navigator in his eyeball.
I used to get Boardwatch magazine, and I love that cover. Yes,
it's
cool.
This is going to be framed somewhere in the studio. We haven't figured it out yet. I've got put it
beside the First Contact poster.
Oh, that would be good. Just doesn't quite work there.
I'm gonna have to go find me one of those. I love that poster. Go find it.
Thank you, Weber, for that very much. We also had a question of the week last week. It was started in Facebook and then migrated to the show. What would you build with some of the small computers like Raspberry Pi, Pi Zero, etc.? Holy catfish, we got a lot of responses. Paul Puri says a Minecraft server. Krishna, who's been a longtime friend of the show, many a shows, and he is an artist, comic artist, if I remember right, and does some other things. He says he wants to build a RetroPie homebrew arcade emulator. I just went through that process recently. The Raspberry Pi 3 can play MAME games, Atari 2600, Atari 7800. I didn't know Ataris went up that high. ColecoVision and more. I've tested ColecoVision games, and it works perfectly. Make sure to pick up a USB controller. Very cool. Brad Miller, whom I used to work with many moons ago, wrote, I have about a dozen. But I think the Pi Zero W is more amazing. Things I have built. Kodi Entertainment Center. Very popular one, by the way. MAME Emulator Station. 433 megahertz light controller, OpenVPN server Wi-Fi router, OpenVPN house router, wireless security camera, inbound remote access device.
Wait, 433 megahertz, is that how fast it switches the lights on and off?
I think that's the radio frequency at which it communicates, but I'm not sure. Nate Welch, used to be my karate buddy, says an Octoprint.
It's like a reunion here.
Put Octoprint, it is. Well, this went out on Facebook, so it went in every direction in my ecosystem. He says, put Octoprint on it for my 3D printer or set it up as an IoT Bluetooth collector. Tiffany Van Boxtel, who used to be a karate instructor at the karate school many, many moons ago. I didn't realize she was this much of a nerd until this came up. It said a Super Nintendo emulator would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it would.
Daniel T. Smith, who's our pink bender in the Dragon Con parade, simply writes, emulation station.
See, I see a common thread here.
This is from all over the place. Dominic Cardea, National Park Service Ranger. He writes, I would hook up a squirt gun by the door that targets the dog barking when I come home. And there would be a big no in my voice.
No.
Fred Van West says, open HAB server or maybe a dish for Walder Frey. Raspberry Pi. Get it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Game of Thrones reference, kids. Myron Dupler says, home automation with non-lethal intruder response. What does that mean? Like rubber bullets? You start pummeling.
Maybe he'll do the reverse of the of Dominic up there and have it bark like a dog. It detects an intruder.
No. Mark McCoy also says, Octoprint 3D print server. Yorga, who sent us the postcard.
I'm curious what that is now.
You're going to go look. Yorga also writes, add a uBlox GPS via USB. Make sure that it has a PPS. Run FreeBSD. He has got lots of letters in this. It's too complicated for me.
Yeah, good.
uBlox GPS.
Acronym City.
And build an accurate time server. Gary Lindros, friend of the show, and is our substitute Santa in the Dragon Con parade this year. An Illudium Q36 explosive space modulator.
Yeah.
C.A. Sizemore isn't far behind. He wants to build a K-9. Yeah. The K-9. Robotic dog from Doctor Who. We've seen those before. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
And Julie's boyfriend, Will, says, Sega Genesis emulator and put it into a broken Sega Genesis, too. That I have laying around.
The Sega Genesis as
the chassis.
A case. Just a case. You know, I was thinking, I think you, don't you have a controller on your telescope to track items?
It's timer, but I don't have the ability to punch in coordinates. It's not a
good.
Well, it's hard to do when it only tracks the right ascension, left and right kind of thing. It doesn't do uppy downy. I'd need to get a whole different mount and probably a whole different telescope. It'd be cheaper.
Well, I was just thinking, I wonder if you could build something with a Raspberry Pi and some motors and a controller.
That's kind of like trying to make your car drive sideways when all you have is tires that go forward, Craig.
All I'm hearing is excuses from you.
Yeah.
No, wait.
Mighty expensive solutions from you. Whose money are you spending here anyway?
I like it when I spend your money.
Let's do the history thing, shall we?
Sure.
On this day in history for August 9, 2017, this is the 221st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 144 days remaining in 2017. It was on this date in 48 BC that Julius Caesar decisively defeats Pompey at Pharsalus at Pompey flees to Egypt in the Battle of Pharsalus. I'm killing it, I know.
As would you rather me go first?
Of Caesar's Civil War. There is no rolling the D20 tonight. It's just us.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, just for the record, I did roll a 20 earlier, but I will. Construction of the Campanile of Cathedral of Pisa, also now known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa, begins construction on this date in 1173. It will take 2 centuries to complete.
That's one slow union job.
Centuries.
That same date in 1854, Henry David Thoreau published Walden.
Hold on. Sorry. Having mic issues there. Walden. Also on this, today in 1892, Thomas Edison receives a patent for a two-way telegraph.
That was a
bidirectional.
Bidirectional integration right there. First one. Yeah. Love it. It was 87 years ago today that Betty Boop makes her cartoon debut in Dizzy Dishes.
Also on August 9th, 1936, during the Summer Olympic Games of the 11th Olympiad, Jesse Owens wins his fourth gold medal.
I'm impressed that you knew that XI was 11. Good job. Congratulations, you passed again. Also on today, 1942, Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi is arrested in Bombay by British forces launching the Quit India movement.
Quim.
quit moving, India.
On August 9th, 1944, the United States Forest Service and the Wartime Advertising Council releases posters featuring Smokey the Bear.
Not Smokey the Bear. Read closely. It's Smokey Bear. His official name is Smokey Bear. You are among the many who are confused. Like people say, daylight savings time. Daylight
saving
time.
His name was Smokey, and he was a bear, so Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, just like Craig the Step.
Yes, and I want you to refer to me like that from here on out.
It was on this date in 1965, not too long ago, that Singapore is expelled from Malaysia and becomes the only country to date to gain its independence unwillingly.
Unwillingly. Followers led by Charles Manson murder pregnant actress Sharon Tate, the wife of Roman Polanski, coffee heiress Abigail Folger.
Folger's coffee?
Never mind. Yeah, I got it now.
Okay, good luck with the next one.
Polish actor Walrich Frockowski. men's hairstylist Jay Sebring. And recent high school graduate Stephen Parent on this date in 1969.
That was one of the two famous murder sprees that Manson's followers went on. Sharon Tate and the LaBianca murders were the other one.
Right, we'll talk about this a little. I'm going to mention something.
Also
about
today in 1974, as a direct result of the Watergate scandal, Richard Nixon becomes the first president of the United States to resign from office. His vice president, Gerald Ford, becomes president.
Well, and happy birthday goes out on this date to Italian mathematician Francesco Barozzi, born on this date in 1537.
It's Barozzi.
Barozzi.
Barozzi, like pizza. Two Z's,
yeah, I'll figure it out. Takes a minute.
Francesco Chetti, the Italian scientist, was born 291 years ago today.
What is everybody in Italy
pretty
born
much.
Today?
Keep going. We got another Italian.
Amadeo Avogadro.
Avogadro. You know, Avogadro's number?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's 3.
6.022 times 10 to the 23rd.
I do know what you're talking about. Italian scientist was born on the same date in 1776.
It's the number of potassiums in an avocado.
That's right.
Astronomer. Avocado. Or astronomer Dorothea Klumke, born on this date in 1861.
Oh, I hate your little program right now. Born August 9th, 1896, German physical chemist known for the Buick-Hückel theory and the Hückel method. Erich Hückel.
You should take a cough drop. Get that coughing.
Hückel. Yeah.
Jean Piaget, Swiss physiologist, biologist, logician, philosopher, and academic, was born on the same date in 1896.
An American nuclear physicist, William Alfred Fowler, was born on this date in 1911.
Wilbert Norman Christensen, a pioneer Australian radio astronomer and electrical engineer, was born 104 years ago today.
And born August 9, 1918, bombardier who dropped an atomic bomb on Nagasaki, Kermit Behan.
Go Kermit. Yeah. American computer science David A. Huffman was born 92 years ago today.
And also turning 77 today is American mathematician Linda Keen.
We didn't make it. We're going to keep going, though. We got a couple more.
And honorable mention, Sam Elliott and Whitney Houston were also born today.
Special mention. Honorable mention. Yeah.
Runner-ups.
Listener birthdays today include August 9th, Julia Pose from the infamous Technorama promo, which we will play later, where she was 11 years old, and I made that in 2007. You do the math.
She's like, what, 23 20 now?
Or 21. There's okay, my math. Yeah. August 10th, Sam Martin. August 11th is Steve Wozniak. I don't know if he's a listener or not, but we interviewed him once, so I count him as part of the family.
Yep,
August 11th is also David Brewer, a.k.a. Tyrion the Imp.
Okay.
And Christine Fiore, whom I believe is the wife of Joe Fiore from Mega Podtastic, even though the website, the link here says Mega Podzilla, which we shall never mention again. He's got to update that.
He's got homework to do. He's got to update his birthday calendar.
Happy birthday to her on August 13th. If you want to be part of our birthday calendar, head on over to chuckchat.com/wiki, and we will get your name on there, give you a shout out, or your wife or whomever.
You know what? All the people that we know aren't listeners that are like wives and children of our listeners, I'm going to go and find them on Facebook and wish them a happy birthday first before their spouse or parents. Be the first one to wish my birthday.
As long as they're still alive and still married, we're good, right?
Yeah.
All right, we have some
good news, nobody.
That was too quiet. Let's do it again.
Good news, nobodies.
That was a take.
Oh, by the way, before we go further, I was mentioning that obviously this happened, the Charles Manson stuff happened before I was born, or right around the time I was born.
Yes.
So I never really followed it too much because I always thought it was this creepy thing, obviously.
It's part of history.
And,
It's part of history.
It is part of history. I'm just saying, as time goes on, and like I said, I've never really read about it, watched any movies or documentaries about it. And so I cursively know about it, but it's like every time I turn around, it's like, wow, that person was killed. Like we were reading earlier, and it's just kind of kind of eye-opening a little bit. Maybe I should go actually read about it, because it's interesting. The more you find out about it, the more crazy it seems.
If you want to read a good story, go read Helter Skelter from Vincent Bugliosi, I believe. He was the lawyer, and I believe it's narrated by his son on audible.com. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got an
Geneva
autoplay
Home
video.
Health has
Let's
been proudly
stop that.
Offering Karen.
Goodbye. Okay, thank you.
I All hate right. autoplay videos.
Yeah, me too. In our... close that other... screens chewing up my CPU. Recently, NASA put out a call for a planetary, what was the title they used? Planetary Protection Officer.
Protection, yeah.
It was responded to by a 9-year-old boy. He answered the call from NASA to protect Earth from aliens and got an encouraging response to his application. My name is Jack Davis, and I would like to apply for the Planetary Protection Officer job, the fourth grader wrote in a letter. I may be 9, but I think I would be a fit for the job. One of the reasons is my sister says I am an alien. Takes one to know one, I guess. Also, I have seen almost all the space and alien movies I can see. Alrighty then.
Hey, in other news, he also wrote a similar letter to Tony Stark wanting the Iron Man job. Sorry.
The job advertisement for a planetary protection officer explained that space missions sometimes introduce Earth organisms into other parts of the solar system. In technical terms, the officer would assist with the, quote, avoidance of organic constituent and biological contamination in human and robotic space exploration. Okay, this is the person who makes sure everything's clean before it gets sent up or sent out to another body. Because if you're going to go looking for, say, bacteria on the oceans below Europa or Enceladus, you don't want to bring them with you and go, look, I found one. That's a bit true. Like the cops planting the drugs in the car.
Yeah, we found it.
Right. No surprise there. Okay, in boistering his case for the job, Jack explained in his letter, I have also seen the show Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and hope to see the movie Men in Black. Oh, well, he's got a lot learning to do.
He's doing his research.
I am great at video games. I am young, so I can learn to think like an alien. This is awesome. Although the position, quote, may not be in real life, what the title conjures up. NASA said it promotes, quote, the responsible exploration of our solar system by preventing microbial contamination. Jack received a letter from Dr. James L. Green, the director of NASA's Planetary Sciences Division, saying the officer position was, quote, very important work. Quote, we are always looking for bright future scientists and engineers to help us. So I would hope you will study and do well in school. We hope to see you here at NASA one of these days, Green letter suggests.
They should have sent him like a honorary, like an intern.
At least give him a freaking patch like I have on the wall behind me. See, right there.
I hope they would send a patch or something like that. That would be awesome. But anyway, it was cool that they responded to his letter.
He also got a call from NASA's Planetary Research Director, Jonathan Rall, to congratulate him on his interest. I also have, if you can't see, right below the patch is that little like copper-colored square.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually multi-layers of fabric. That's the stuff they put on the satellites to keep the radiation out.
I can't really see. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool.
Laura Burns gave that to me when she was here last.
Is it working?
Well, it's keeping radiation out of my house. It's doing a great job.
Yeah, okay.
Would you like the next story, sir?
Sure, why not? Let me pull up the link.
Tape cartridge could store 330 terabytes.
330 terabytes, that's a lot.
Tape?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, isn't this going backwards?
Read on.
So IBM and Sony have teamed up and produced a magnetic tape cartridge that could fit 330 terabytes in the palm of your hand. The tape can store 201 gigabytes. Oh, we're already backing off the claim.
Wait. In a single square inch.
I know, I'm kidding. So the tape can store 221 gigabytes in a single square inch. And the picture he's holding up, it's really about the shorter than the finger. Ars Technica notes that the theoretical 330 terabyte tape cartridge would be more than 200 times the biggest capacity current available.
I think that's a 20 times.
What'd I say?
200.
Oh.
So it's just difference? One order of magnitude.
And 5 times the capacity of the biggest hard drive on the market. It was very much a combined effort with Sony concentrating on the pure logistics of producing a higher capacity tape and IBM working on how to read the data. The key was switching the method of applying the magnetic material to the tape. Traditionally, what's involved is coating in a liquid. Yeah, I mean, they would kind of spray on the iron, iron shavings before, I think. But the new method involves sputtered deposition, which is already used for creating some circuit components. In simplified terms, like for me,
please do.
This means that creating a gas and accelerating the ions onto the source material. This causes particles from the source material to be injected into a straight line, depositioning them.
Depositing.
What am I saying that like that?
Why do you deposition your paycheck every couple of weeks?
Feels like it. So depositing them onto a film on the surface of the tape.
Huh.
The upshot is that the magnetic grains on the tape are 10 or more times thinner than an existing tape. And thus increasing the capacity.
But do we need tapes at this point? That's what I'm wondering.
Why don't they
do that to a hard drive?
Tape. You know, I'm going back, I'm thinking of tapes, and I think about cassette tapes, you know, the way they used to make them, which is obviously this is a little bit different, but
I'm thinking tapes, sticking things in archive.
Wait a minute. So they take the tape theory and they made hard drives with it, you know, putting magnetic media on a desk that spins and they move the head instead of the tape going over the head. Okay. Why don't they take this and make some kind of drive out of that? Rather than a cartridge.
I don't know.
I would say this would be prone to breaking. That was part of the problems with backup tapes. Plus, it's linear. It's not like you can just
randomly access it. Right.
Yeah. So I say, I bet if they made a full size hard drive with material like that, I bet they could. When I say full size, I'm talking.
If it's 25 gig per square inch, and you put it on, let's say.
Here's to the.
Whoa.
What was that?
I think I had another audio auto-played video.
Okay. Delayed.
But anyway, how many square inches are on a little hard drive? Because it was 25 gig per. Or was it 200 gig? No, I can't remember. But there's not that many square inches on a hard drive.
Yeah, it's 201 gigs in a.
Yeah, but then in parentheses, it says 25 gigabytes right after it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. This is totally confusing, and I don't know if it would be economically feasible to put this onto a hard drive.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've wanted to avoid tape cart backups, period. I don't care how much you could store on them. I thought they were crap, only because you had to go get a file. You had to wait for it to read the index, go find the file. You know,
at least you didn't have to read the whole thing sequentially. When they finally came up with indexes on the front of the tape, where the software manufacturer would say, these first blocks will tell you how to fast forward to the right place. That was a huge savings.
Well, the big time savings when you had the sticker that says, be kind, rewind, so you can get the index right at the beginning. But this guy in the picture looks like he knows what he's talking about. All right.
We'll keep an eye out on this one. Let's move on to other news. We have the U.S. Army is immediately not going to use off-the-shelf drones. Okay.
Which, why would they? I thought that was kind of stupid when I first heard this.
Why should they invest $10,000 in an Allen wrench? If you can secure it, let's use off-the-shelf stuff instead of going and engineering our own.
Well, if you can secure it. Well, the problem is, and I knew we're going to get to this in the article, but these are manufactured from China.
The U.S. Army has ordered all service members to immediately cease using drones manufactured by Chinese tech company DJI, hinting the company's products could be easily compromised by third parties. An Army memo obtained by a small UAS news noted DJI drones, quote, are the most widely used non-program of record commercial off-the-shelf, unquote, unmanned aerial vehicles in the service's use, but cited a classified Army Research Laboratory report from May 2017, which apparently resulted in, quote, increased awareness of cyber vulnerabilities associated with DJI products, unquote. The memo ordered Army staff to immediately cease all use, uninstall all DJI applications, remove all batteries/storage media from devices, and secure equipment for follow-on direction. Slaughter three cows and
sell them on eBay.
The U.S. military uses drones for a wide array of purposes, including reconnaissance, engineering support, communications, fire support, and, of course, blowing up people. Small drones like those manufactured by DJI have already found widespread use in war-torn places like Iraq, where their tiny size and ability to transmit high-quality video has made them invaluable scouting tools.
Yeah. Right. Now, I agree that they're fantastic, but yeah, they're... You know, okay, so you have a Wi-Fi connection between you and the drone.
Is it Wi-Fi?
Yes, and I want to know...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it is.
You're out in the middle of the desert. You don't have Wi-Fi out there. Wi-Fi only has a range of, what, a couple hundred feet? Your drone can go a lot further than that. It's got to be something else. Wi-Fi just ain't going to cut it.
These have Wi-Fi on them. Connect to them and remotely control them.
There's your problem right there.
Because you can control them with your phone, or you can control them with a controller. But yes, it is Wi-Fi. There is a range that you're stuck with. But the thing, and some of them do better than others because of the way they're engineered. But I'm wondering, is that Wi-Fi one, is it even secure? Because, I mean, somebody could potentially see it, you know, connect to it, and I don't know. I don't know how secure that would be.
What? We're supposed to put a password on it?
Well, that's part of it. But yeah, again, it's a Chinese. I'm not saying all Chinese tech firms are prone to being, you know, having access to the data, but that's possible. Because I know when the DJI drones, you have to kind of register them with the company to use them.
There's got to be some criteria that the armed forces needs to make to say what we need to get. You know, this isn't bring your own device anymore. This is bring your own drone, BYOD.
Yeah,
it's there's got to be some
register
capability.
Chuck Demasi at army.gov.
this level of of encryption or something in there. Okay.
I see that they're cheap and they'd be great to use. I mean, I get that. It's a great tool. But yeah, I would think that my immediate thought would be like, seriously, they were advocating using these?
Security should be number one in the armed forces.
Yeah. You know, who knows?
Again, okay with using off-the-shelf stuff as long as it's compliant in the security measures. I mean, we have tighter security than that on our laptops at work.
I know. Tell me about it.
And it's getting crazier every week.
So I don't know. I would have been like, they're letting us use this. I mean, because I don't know. Anything off the shelf would be suspect to me. You would think they would have people combing over everything. I guess they don't.
Well, let's contemplate that and move on. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with our Hacks
and
Strange Stories.
And I want to start crying here in a minute.
You can cry while we're taking our break.
Okay.
Donald will play the clip, and I'm going to play something that'll make you laugh. All right.
Yay.
We'll be right back. There was a story about a security robot that went rogue and fell into a pond.
The suicide robot. I read about this. It was horrible. I cried.
I thought it was Marvin.
I'm a sophisticated security robot, and they have me sweeping up the mall.
I know Kung Fu.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Well, the depressed robot.
The gift to the Marvin Foundation.
This is the best I can be. Billions of dollars of research, and I'm a security officer.
Brain is the size of a planet.
But what really happened on that tragic day, investigators want to know.
It's a big gust of wind.
A drop in barometric pressure has caused Steve to run into the fountain. He rolled a one.
He rolled...
My name is Julia Pose, and I'm 11 years old. I love gymnastics and karate. I have to go to school, and I do all the other things normal kids do. But I'm more than that. I'm a geek. I listen to Technorama Podcast. It helps me to maintain my inner geek. For your own inner geek, just go to www.chuckchat.com/technorama. I'm ready for my download, Mr. Tomasi.
We want to know how she turned out after 10 years of Technorama.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious.
It's a bit like jumping to the end of the Lord of the Rings. Did they make it? Did they make it?
Look, they made the big trek across the whole land. Yay.
Stupid eagles.
Stupid eagles.
We should do the hacks and strange stories about now.
Let's do it. Strange stories.
Oh, I got to adjust my volume here a little bit. Hang on.
Oh, what? Am I too loud again?
No, this mic, sometimes the audio, it'll, like, it comes down and it comes back up. And sorry.
Okay. A Boeing 787 drew a giant GPS picture of itself above the U.S. I thought this was complete fabrication until I read more. This is a shot of the picture that the Boeing 787-8 Dreamliner drew of itself using its GPS while flying above 22 of the United States during an 18-hour endurance flight test of the new Rolls-Royce engines that will power the 787-10 models of the plane. As tipster Jeremy pointed out, it may have exaggerated its engine size a bit.
It's always compensating for something.
Yeah, I tend to do the same thing when I draw pictures of myself, too. Okay. But it looks like it did a couple circles around Marquette, Michigan, if I'm looking at the right wingtip accurately. And pretty interesting. This looks, I believe this came from Flight Radar 24. They left somewhere around Seattle, flew east to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and then started making this map that basically points back at Seattle, covering Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and a good chunk of Texas. It's crazy, man.
Hey, Bob, did you file your flight plan? Yeah, they kind of started laughing, but...
I just said I'm taking it out for a cruise.
Wow. You know, I thought, when I saw this, they must have had to speed up and slow down in some places because, you know, they cross over a lot of flight plans, you know.
Well, it depends what altitude they're on. Nobody may have even noticed if they were really high or really low or wherever they were. But some of those turns are really tight, I suppose.
Yeah, somebody was high when they made this.
I wonder if they still have a job is what I'm wondering.
It's interesting. All right.
From the weird and strange files at Technorama, we come across stories like this and absolutely love them. Craig, I'm leaving this one in your capable hands.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about this one. So people are immortalizing their dead loved ones in stuffed animals.
Oh, if that's okay, if your uncle was named Teddy.
So on Wednesday, a video captured a tender... Capturing a tender, somewhat eerie moment surfaced on Reddit, allegedly showing a woman listening to the voice of her late husband emanating from a Build-A-Bear.
Okay.
It was possessed.
How many audio and video things do we have there out on the internet that could be considered creepy? All somebody did, it sounds like they took the sound bites and put them in the bear.
Well, we have been doing this show for 12 years.
Right. That's creepy in itself.
Yeah. Okay.
We won't be selling any bears. Maybe we should just put some audio clips together that we can license into the Build-A-Bears.
Yeah. What we need to do is... Never mind. I'll talk about that in a minute. So the title of the post suggests that she was married to her husband for 32 years, and he died of cancer, and the bear was a gift to her from her children.
Okay.
Surprisingly, this isn't the first time or the second or even the third instance of the living using technology to preserve a memory of a dead loved one in a stuffed animal. In December, a woman surprised her nieces with a Build-A-Bear equipped with the voice and laugh of their grandfather who died of a stroke.
I'm going to kill you. It's creepy when, Grandpa Bear.
Yeah. So when two of the girls' best friends each lost a parent, she gifted each of them a bear with voices of their parents for their birthdays this spring. While he was still alive, a man got his girlfriend a toy monkey
with his voice.
With his voice. Yeah, with his voice in it for her birthday. She reportedly received it after his death. And in June of last year, a woman repaired a stuffed bear with a recording of her grandmother's late husband who died of lung cancer. The message said,
That was tasteless, Craig. Not even subtle. Wow. That was... Dude.
Sorry. You're the best girl in the world for me. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings.
I want to see this little video. Hopefully we won't get stopped by the Facebook police, but let's try this. 44 seconds. We might even talk over for a little bit. First, we'll turn down the video ad for the old guy swimming by the pool. You've probably seen that 100 times. Okay. It's an unboxing. Yay! We went to the Build-A-Bear workshop. And, oh, it's Cowboy Teddy. Open it up. And... Squeeze its head. No, how do you make it talk? Shake it? She listened to the bear and starts crying. I didn't hear what the bear said. You owe me $5.
Read the certificate, Mom.
No, it was terribly emotional. That's all I can say. Can't tell what the bear said.
I love my wife, but I don't know if I'd want something like this. I don't know.
She can go back into the Technorama archives if she wants to hear your voice.
Yeah, she wants to hear me.
Can I have a sandwich? Yeah. That's what my bear would say.
I love this car.
I love what you've done with your hair.
Yeah. Hey. Somebody would have to cut up like several different conversations to make it sound like, I love your hair.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to the chat room. We have people following us on Sunday night on Facebook. We have John Miller Jr., who's all over the comments tonight. Clinton Alvord from ComedyForecast.com. That's Comedy Forecast with the number 4, all one word. Weber Baker, kind contributor of our poster. We had Donna's nephew, Jeremy, was in here for a little while. TG Squared Studio said, sorry, we couldn't make it into the studio, but we just wrapped up an episode where we interviewed Brian Augustine. Very cool. Evo Terra was in here for a little while. He may, in fact, still be in here. I can't tell who these 5 people are. Now 4.
Well,
love you, people.
I can tell you, Scott Stephanie Long, one of my old high school buddies.
Loriana Byers Miller is my cousin. Scott Stephanie Long is it Scott and Stephanie Long? Did they do that?
Yeah, that's his wife's name. That's not it's not his middle name or nothing.
Oh, okay. And there we are. Thank you very much. If you want to say hello, we'll give you a shout out. Thank you very much for watching us on Sunday night. We will be around 9:30 Eastern PM on most weekends. Sometimes life gets in the way. We've got some travel coming up. And I should mention now before I forget, I'll try to get it at the end of the show. We will be at Dragon Con this Labor Day weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, doing a live podcast with Clinton of Comedy Forecast. Similar to what we've been doing in the last few years, but we get some new elements we're going to throw in and have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, and we got at least 2.5 weeks to write this thing.
And the less than that, because I'm going to be in Wyoming most of the time.
And we got the eclipse coming up.
The eclipse is coming up. We will be in a new room. We used to be in 204, then the Skeptic Track took that over and moved us to 203 for a couple of years. Now I think we're getting booted out of 203 and probably going to the basement.
I'm skeptical why we got moved.
Maybe we're going to the Crystal Ballroom.
Is it the
Crystal? Is it the Crystal Ballroom or the Crystal Ball Room? I'm not sure yet.
It's the room where they store the crystal balls.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. It holds a lot more people. Maybe that's why they moved. They couldn't handle all our popularity.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Suddenly, actually, we did something right.
I was thinking of Office Space, where they kind of moved, what's his name, down Milton? All the way. Yeah, Milton, all the way down to the basement. We fixed the glitch.
could somebody turn on the lights? I can't see.
Oh, look. Ben Raggington joined, and your daughter, Julie Tomasi.
Oh, happy birthday to Julie. This is Julie's birthday today. It's a lot of people's birthday today. It was crazy. Facebook was going nuts.
What, is she Italian or
it's
something?
It's also Scott and Ann Tyler's wedding anniversary today, so now I'll be able to remember that. A lot of quinkydinks in the world today, and we are happy to be part of it and happy to share it with you. So let us give a shout-out to our patrons.
I think that's don't shout too hard.
Thank you to our patrons. We're actually down a patron or two since recent months. Yeah.
Okay. We need to send surveys out.
We need to send surveys out. And we appreciate the people who are still hanging tough with us. We have Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble, Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco, who is in Green Bay doing a Mystery Science Theater, Green Bay, Wisconsin, doing Mystery Science Theater live tonight as we record this. He's just got a few more days on the road. Craig's going to see him in Atlanta, Georgia. That's enough commercials for this place. Steve Therrien, Kyle Nishioka, who we will also be seeing in Dragon Con. I believe he's going to show up again. It's just kind of tradition. And Dennis Patnod.
Dragon Con is like homecoming for us now.
It kind of is. Class reunion time.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your patronage. If you want to be part of this elite club, we have special content for these people that goes out every week. Special podcast. And we usually get them a gift around Christmas. So thank you for your patronage. It helps keep this show going. We just renewed a bunch of the domains related to this show. And that hurts. But we're good for 5 years. So we really,
you paid it up for 5 years?
Yeah, it's cheaper by the dozen.
You know, it seems like mine are spread out over the year, and it's like, maybe one here a month, two here.
You can get them coterminous if you want. Well, I know you can with GoDaddy.
Yeah, I probably need to do something like that.
It's probably not too early to start mentioning this also of things coming up in the future. October 28th, which is a Saturday in late October. Big event in Phoenix, Arizona. We are holding the first ever PIY workshop. Podcast It Yourself.
That's right.
What it stands for. We are doing a short half-day workshop. It's actually half day after the second half of the day. And it also happens to be T. Morris's birthday. So come on out. It is a paid event, but it is very reasonably priced. We will get details and a promo and everything else on this show soon. But mark your calendars if you're interested in either coming to Phoenix and visiting, or if you're in the Phoenix area and want to start a podcast, this is for you. This is targeted for new people, but we will have lots of experienced people on hand to share. Go ahead.
Did you mention what it coincides with?
Coincides with the release of Podcasting for Dummies, third edition.
That's right.
It's kind of our launch party, but we're making it more about the people learning how to podcast than the book.
Yeah. Now, people that just want to congregate, they can get out in the parking lot and just hang out. Experience podcaster.
And wait for the celebration to begin afterwards. Okay, a couple more stories as we're running down on time here. We've got a Marvel How to Draw variant covers are fun, but Gwenpool's is the best. You can have this one.
Okay. So, yeah, there's this fall, Marvel will be running a series on how to draw variant covers from the maniac, wonderful mind and writer, artist, Chip Zdarsky.
On this day in history.
Yeah. There's a lot to love in this cheeky revival of the classic drawing books of Marvel's older years, but we found it pretty clear a favorite of all of our covers have been revealed today. So if you scroll down, you can see one is how to draw Black Panther, and then there's another one, how to draw Gwenpool, who...
These kind of remind me of those matchbook cover things. You want to go to art school? Draw Zippy.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gwen, if you're not familiar, is like Gwen Stacy from Spider-Man, but she's been put into other heroes. There's a Spider-Gwen, and there's a Gwenpool like this right here. And of course, as in Deadpool fashion, it starts breaking the third wall as they start drawing it. So the first one was just a circle, and then the circle with a nose and a mouth line. And you said, hey, man, mouse never take them for granted. Let me tell you. And then it starts getting a little more animated.
Yeah, she gets a little sassier as the animation grows.
It doesn't even make it to the sixth panel. It's like somebody erased it.
I like the comments that are down there. How to draw an owl starts with a circle and an arc. That's step one. Step two has the whole finished feathered owl. It's like, wait, did I miss something?
That was pretty funny. Yeah. So anyway, I used to like those kind of things where how to draw the, I remember a book, how to draw Bugs Bunny and stuff like that. And
we did one like that at Disney. We drew Goofy. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Angry mom accidentally texts 35-year-old guy instead of her daughter, and things escalate quickly. This is from Bored Panda, which I must put in my RSS feed because I've had a couple of stories come up this week from Bored Panda that are just hysterical. This is one of them. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it goes on. It says, honey, please grab milk and lunch meat on your way home. The response is, I'm pretty sure you have the wrong number. I'm already at home. Stop playing, and can you go back to the store? Okay, but seriously, you have the wrong number. I'm not going to the store for you. Jess, I need you to grab that, and I'm not taking you and Brad to the movies tonight. Milk, turkey, and ham. Well, although milk and turkey sounds delicious, ham is gross. What movie are we going to see? Since when did you start hating ham? I don't care. It's up to you. I thought you wanted to go to the Boss Baby. Is Brad's parents bringing you home after, or do I need to pick you up? Well, I've heard some people say it's okay. I always hated ham. Sometimes I think you don't even hear me. I'll have to ask. Would you mind stopping at the store for me on your way to pick us up tonight? You are a strange child, she says, if you even knew. Also, yeah. I've always dreamt of the day I would get a wrong number text just so I could mess with the other person. Today was that day. Okay. And I have so many good ideas, but they're all adult oriented. Did you go to the store yet? So first I tested the waters and slowly figured out that you think you are texting your child. Your father will be home and for lunch in 30 minutes. I am a 35-year-old man from Wisconsin. I swear I could have messed with you so bad since there's a child involved. I can't bring myself to do it. You have the wrong number. Stop joking. It isn't cute. And then he sends a picture of him and his wife. It's a bearded man and a lovely wife. This is me and my wife. Your husband is going to be so mad about not having any lunch meat. It goes on from there, and it does actually start to sound phony, and he catches on. It's like, all right, somebody did this on purpose. They're yanking his chain, and he goes, all right, this is pretty much a gag. But, hey, it's fun anyway, and maybe somebody didn't get their lunch meat, or they're just really disturbed. But it's fun to read anyway.
I had somebody text me. This has been several years now. We may have talked about it on the show where somebody texted me and it was clearly a kid because they were using like you and, you know, abbreviated crap.
Yep.
And I replied a couple of times and they were like, why weren't you at school? I was like, well, I got deported. What? Then I said, sorry, I think you got the wrong number. I was just messing with you. And then I was expecting them to be mad and they just like, LOL, you know, kind of. But I went on for about 5 minutes screwing with a person. I don't know. Why weren't you at school? I hate school. I quit. I got deported.
ask the cops.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. We have a question of the week for you. What TV show is widely popular that you cannot stand?
Barney.
Ooh, Barney. That's been off the air for like 25 years, Craig. Get over it.
Hey, I couldn't stand it when it was popular. How about that?
Did you ever watch it? That's the kicker.
No, because I couldn't stand
it. There are a few shows that I catch glimpses of, and I cannot understand them, but I've never given them a fair shake. So let's make this fair. Okay. you have to have at least seen one complete episode of the show before you poo-poo it. Because it's real easy, and I've done this before. I've seen bits and pieces of a show and going, no, that's not for me. And then when you sit down and get into it, it's like, hey, this isn't so bad. It's just
then you find out you love the Golden Girls.
You said it, not me.
I used to like to watch the Golden Girls. Who didn't?
All right.
I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head, really, that I'm familiar with that I didn't really like. Because usually if I was something I liked, or half interested in it, I watched it.
Right.
So I don't know.
Okay, we'll give you an answer later this week. We'll post it to Facebook in case you missed it. Otherwise, write us, let us know, call us on the listener line, 707-530-CHAT. That's 707-530-2428. You should know the number by now. We've had this one for, about a year and a half? We can also email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. I'm going to push the button to play some music. Woohoo! Here we go.
Push the button, Chuck.
I did push the button. I've been pushing this button for 12 years.
12 long years.
It's been a wonderful 12 years, and we hope to have another 12.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we do.
Join us on our Technorama Facebook page. We like a lot of the people that are on there. We like to see you there. You can also support us, as we mentioned earlier, by becoming a patron and getting our free Patreon. I'm getting all choked up. Actually, I'm just getting gas at the end of the show.
Wonderful.
Thanks to everyone who joined us. Thank you for listening. And we invite you to tell a friend about Technorama. And until next time, Craig, give me a binary high five.
101.
Thank you.
Waving frantically at the camera.
Hi, Mom. Good night, and thank you for watching.